I invite you to go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10 in the Old Testament. This morning, we'll be using the Old Testament as our main verse instead of the gospel lesson. I invite you to read along with me or listen as we read these words together. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Scripture reads, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I've put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of my favorite things to do as a child was to put together a puzzle. It was something that I loved to do in elementary school. And I'm sure my teacher probably, she gave it to us so that we would use our critical thinking skills, but probably more than that, to keep us focused instead of causing trouble during downtime. One of the things that my teacher used to do was to take away the box. And as you know, that made it extremely difficult when you didn't have the picture to look at. Nonetheless, there was a sense of pride and joy when you would finally complete the puzzle, especially when you did it without the box. But before that moment of pride and before that moment of relief and celebration, it's a big thing for a third grader. There was that moment when you would pour out all the pieces on the table, and you take a deep sigh, and it seems almost impossible. Your only options are to walk away or to take a piece and start matching it with the pieces that fit, so that what was once a chaotic mess would take shape into a beautiful picture of creation, of whatever was on the box. As we read this passage this morning in Jeremiah, I immediately thought of a puzzle. Each individual piece of a puzzle is a part of something greater. Jeremiah's calling is a part of a plan. Jeremiah's calling has a greater purpose. But it was not an easy plan. This morning, we look at our context of our passage today to understand the difficulty in the calling of Jeremiah's life. The people of God were in great distress during this time. In 597 BC, Judah, they had revolted against the Babylonians, and they provoked them to the point that they were invaded three times. And after a long battle, the capital city of Jerusalem, they fell to the Babylonians. and 687. But during this invasion, the Babylonians broke down the walls of the city and took the lives of many people. They flattened the palace of the king and destroyed the temple in which the people of God would worship him. The invasion of the country and the destruction of the city shattered the lives of God's people. It ruined what was ordinary domestic, social, and economic lives that they once had. They became either prisoners of war or refugees if their lives had not been lost. It is important to know these details because sometimes we read the passage of Jeremiah and we hear the excuses that he had. And we think, grow up. As to dismiss the degree of difficulty that Jeremiah was being called to. The leaders in this time were taken into captivity, into a foreign land, a place where they did not have a clue how to worship God. They didn't know how to worship God outside of Jerusalem and outside of the temple. The people there needed someone to show them how to live their calling as the people of God in a drastically changed and frightening circumstances. The people, more than ever, needed a prophet. And so God, in the midst of this epic and life-changing event, comes to this young man who had a background with a family who was priestly. And he says, "Son, I need you to be my voice to these souls who right now desperately need me." And Jeremiah's response, "No thanks. I don't talk right. I'm too young. I'm sure you have someone else. I'm not able to do that. I've never done that before. Why me? There must be someone else." Sound familiar? You know, every day it gets harder and harder to just turn on the TV and watch the news. It gets harder and harder every day to raise a family in this broken world. And the thing is, in some way or another, whether it's subconsciously or maybe we even know it's happening, we know that as long as this world is ran by imperfect people, things have no choice but to fail. Most of you went school shopping. And I'm sure, like you, you bought some nice new shoes for those kids. And no matter how good the cushion is and how white the soles are and clean, eventually they're going to put them on. And we all know what happens. We are no different. We fail. We're broken. We look around and our world is the product of imperfection and failure. And we can blame political parties. We can blame a president. We can blame a presidential candidate. We can blame a race. We can blame another country. And we can even try to blame darkness. And no matter how hard and how much time we spend on trying to find a scapegoat, the reality is that most of our spilt milk came from our own cups. But sometimes the mess that we see had nothing to do with us. We see war-torn countries. We see confusion. We see poverty. We see hunger. And sometimes it seems as if Babylon had invaded our world. As if the Babylonians have come in and destroyed our cities. And it is like we are refugees. As if we are in a foreign world. It's not the place we once knew. It's almost to the point where, just as God's people during that time of Jeremiah, they were to the point where they no longer knew how to worship God. You know, I've been in ministry for going on 10 years. And the easiest year was year one. It has never become easier. Some say, Jeremiah, how could you say no to God? You're going to be a prophet. People are going to talk about you for thousands of years. But Jeremiah was no different than us. Jeremiah looked out at what was going on in his world, and he started grabbing for excuses faster than his hands could move. And his excuses? I don't have the skills, and his age. Now, I'm not sure those excuses have been passed down from generation to generation. But my goodness, if the church in general ever had some good excuses, I would say next near to the top would be, I don't know how, and my time is past. You see, we're no different than Jeremiah. Perhaps the reason is that we look out into the world and we become quickly discouraged, as if we can no longer make a difference because things are too far gone. Or perhaps we really believe that we are not gifted enough, or that no one would benefit from our ideas, from our dreams, from our input, from our gifts. Or maybe we have convinced ourselves that we're either too old or too young to matter, to make a difference. But Jeremiah had to learn that if he chose to finally live into his calling, it would be good not only for Jeremiah, but for all of God's people. God's people were in desperate need of someone to step up and show them the way to God, especially because their lives had been shattered, some by the Babylonians, but some also by their own doing. So as Jeremiah lives into his calling to be the prophet, it enables the people to live into their calling, to be the people of God regardless of where they were. When I was a teenager, my mom used to tell us all the time, your choices will always affect someone else. Man, I hated hearing that. But you know what? She was right. She still is. If Jeremiah had chosen not to answer the call from God, if he would have let the excuses of skill and age keep him from saying yes, not only would he have lost out, but the people who needed a prophet more than ever would have lost out too. Now, I know we Methodists do not like to talk about the S word, sin. But I wasn't raised Methodist, so we're going to dabble in it for just a second. There's two types of sin. One we're really good at, commission. Things that we do. But we'll leave that alone and save it for Sam, because there are plenty of things that I do that I don't have time to address to you today. But there's also omission. And we do not think about that often enough. The things that we don't do. When we choose to not act or to live into who God is calling us to be, and at the same time profess to want to grow in our relationship with God, well, it's going to be a little difficult. When we let the excuses overpower God's call, then not only do we miss out on what God has prepared for us, but it affects the whole puzzle. We will not get our completed picture. We will not see the beautiful creation. And many souls will not have the chance at true hope, to have true love, and to have true life. Jeremiah had to realize that his saying yes to his calling in his life was, yes, difficult, but necessary. Not only for him, but for many others. And you know what? Jeremiah complained the whole time. He complained to God. He complained to the people he was to speak to. He complained to anyone who would listen. He complained so much that we still call him the weeping prophet. He loved to cry. And I don't know about you, but I think I can relate to that. I would go as far as to say that many of us can probably relate to that. I've heard. But even though he complained, even though he had to speak some pretty tough words, he had to warn these people. And the people drove him nuts. He was met with rejection. He cried many tears. His life was threatened. And he even sat in prison. But despite that, he was still able to live into his calling and bring them a message of hope and restoration. And we have that same opportunity today. This morning we sit in front of a puzzle that is in pieces. We sit in a world that has been ransacked. And maybe our own worlds have been ransacked. But what will keep us from answering the call? You see, many times we have no problem relating to the complaining of Jeremiah. But we struggle with relating to the call of Jeremiah. But I believe with all my heart that there is not one person in this place who has not been called by God. And just as God reassured Jeremiah that he knew him before he was formed, we also are known by God. All of us have been called by God for a specific task. And God promises to supply everything we need to fulfill our callings. And when we fulfill our callings, when we live our lives, not only will it be good for us, but it will be good for the whole people of God. We just need to live the life we are called by God to live. Yes. Sometimes it is extremely, most times, it is extremely hard. Just as it was for Jeremiah. And we need to acknowledge that. What we are called to do is not easy. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes things are still happening. And it affects us so much that we sometimes lose our sense of identity. And we seriously need to have a conversation with God and say, how do you expect me to do something? How do you expect me to make a difference? But find hope in the divine presence of God. Not only are we known by God, not only are we beloved by God, but we walk with Him regardless of circumstances. Just as we sat in elementary school, in front of that puzzle, we had a choice. The two choices were to walk away, try our best to forget it, or to pick up the pieces and start putting them together so that it could become that creation it was meant to be. And you know what? With life, we do not have the cover of the box to guide us. Most of the times, we do not know how things are going to turn out. And that is where God comes into the picture. This morning, you all have a piece of paper sitting beside you. Or maybe you sat on it. I want you to take that. And I want you to think for a moment. I want you to put your best excuses down. You know them. You know them. There are plenty of papers to go around, just as there are excuses. We all have them. And I realize this is a little different. You're accustomed to coming here and sitting and then going home and shaking Sam's hand. But I'm not going to let you do that today. You can call him on Monday and say something about it, but I'm not going to let you do that. Because I can no longer sit in a denomination in decline. Not because we disagree. Not because our music styles are different. Not because of who stands here and preaches. But because we have chosen to leave the puzzle alone. We have chosen to say no. We have chosen to take our excuses and cling to them as if our life depended on it. And the choice is ours. I don't care what you write on your paper. It is your excuse, just as these are my excuses. But what I care about is that you're willing to say enough is enough. How many people have to drive by our congregation with no hope? How many people have to wake up and go to sleep and feel like they just exist but have no purpose? How many students do you have to walk the halls with who feel as if no one loves them and no one cares? Before we stop letting these things stop us from saying yes, it may be that it's time to start a new ministry. It may be that you accept Sam's challenge and coming to worship more. It may be joining an existing ministry. It may be sharing your faith journey with someone at work. It may be choosing to be someone different this year in the halls of your schools. It could be anything, because with God, all things are a possibility. God just needs us to say yes. Now, maybe that excuse, I hope you wrote it. Maybe your excuses mean a lot to you right now. But you know what? I think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think about him lying on the ground, knowing what was about to happen to him. And you know what he did? He had an excuse. I think the excuses that he had were pretty good, though. And these excuses, these things, they affected him so much that he would sweat blood. But he looked at his excuses, and then he looked at the Father. He chose to look at God. It didn't change any circumstance. It wasn't an easy path. Just like it wasn't for Moses when he made his excuses. Just like it wasn't for Jeremiah when he made his excuses. And just like it wasn't easy for Jesus when he had his excuse. It's not going to be easy for us. But are you content? Are you okay with the world that we live in? Because Jesus wasn't. And he chose to look at the Father, and he chose to look at God and say, okay. Okay. I'll do it. Not my will, but your will. So look at your excuses that you write. Are they good ones? Mine are. I think they are. But I ask you, God asks you, will you lay these excuses down at the foot of the cross? Will you choose to stand and bring them to the altar and leave them there and stop allowing them from holding you back from a life of possibilities. To come, to bring your excuses, to say yes to the God of Jeremiah, to say yes to God who needs you, to the world who needs you, to the broken who needs you, to those in despair who need you. The puzzle is before you. Will you walk away? Or will you take these excuses, say yes, and put them where they belong? The choice is yours.